Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the One Board Podcast. I am Rick White, and I am here, as always, with a man whose boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do, Ryan Gutowski. How are you, sir?
That's right. What's up, Rick? I think it was back in the late 90s, I bought some boots that were not made for walking, and golly, they were so freaking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't
really
know what else boots are made for other than maybe, like, bug crushing when you need them.
Well,
you
know, I think
they're just sitting around.
I think these were primarily, I bought them like at a recycling plant, which was really weird. Like, it's a weird place to buy boots. I know. But I bought them, I think they may have been can stomping boots, not walking boots. And that's, you know what? That's on me.
Or maybe it's kind of like a viticulture thing where they're, you know, you stomp on the grapes to make wine. Maybe there could be grape stomping boots.
But you're never supposed to have walked in them. Yeah, that makes sense.
The other day, I was talking to a lady I work with, and she all of a sudden jumped up and said, "Oh, no, a bug." And I was like, "Oh, now I work at an all-girls school, and I try to make sure that I never am like, do you need a man to do this job kind of thing? But I have found that bug removal is still something that I am valued for around the school. And so I was like, do you need me to get it? She's like, no. And she stood up with, like, her big, giant stiletto shoe and, like, stepped on her desk with the shoe to squash it. I was like, that was impressive
that
in
is
a different
impressive.
Way than I would have taken care of the bug.
You definitely not would have not used your stilettos for that one.
No, so. I usually sit on bugs to try to get rid of them, so that's what I would have done.
I know of so many ways that could go wrong. Let's talk about what we've been playing, Rick.
I mean, I thought we could talk more about that, but okay.
Hold it. Actually, Ryan, this does tie into games. Do you remember that game where you splatted the, when we were kids, there was a game where you...
Splat?
That's exactly right. It was called Splat.
I have it.
You have a copy?
I got it at a like Goodwill type store.
Nice.
About a year ago. I sent a picture of it to my brother because we played it all the time. I said, what do you think? He's like, buy that. It was less than a dollar.
Yeah.
So I bought that. The Play-Doh to refill it was more.
So what you do is you make these Play-Doh bugs and you walk around. It's just is it a roll and move or spin and move game?
It's like, I think it's roll and move, or it might have cards.
You like move kind of like Candyland or something. And so you move around the board, and then there's the situation where somebody gets splatted. And so you have a splat hand, like that's just almost like a stamp. And so you squash the bugs. It's really neat. And then, like, me being a meticulous kid, like, I'm sitting there trying to scrape off every bit of Play-Doh before I store it away. So,
yeah. I mean, it's not a, like, fantastic...
No.
Game, but it's fun to squish bugs.
It was very creative at the time when it came out in the late 80s. So,
yeah, there you go.
Cool. Awesome. So, Rick, what you been playing, man?
We haven't done a lot of gaming this week, but I did have a game that I played with my in-laws last weekend that I didn't get to talk about last episode, and that is Photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had talked that game up for a while, and I got my hands on it through a math trade, but unfortunately had not broken the game out. Sarah was insistent that we had played it before. I have no idea what game she was thinking about, but I was like, no, you have not played a game where we put a bunch of trees out.
She might be thinking about gardening.
Yeah, we actually did gardening instead.
Yeah.
Photosynthesis is a very interesting game as far as, like, if I'm talking like top components of a game, I think this would be pretty close to the top five list, because it's a board that has a bunch of circles laid out as kind of you building out a forest, and so you plant seeds that develop into trees, and the trees get you light points, which you get from the sun, which is a big cardboard piece that rotates around the board as the game goes on. And so you have to plant your trees to get those sun points, because, like, if a taller tree is in front of your tree, then you're not getting any of the sunlight, you get no points for that round.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that you've properly placed your trees each round, so that you each round you're going to get some sunlight. But also, you know, I don't remember the exact phrasing that they use for, like, how you actually get points. but you're basically chopping down a big old tree to get the actual points of the game. Let's not lie here.
They call it harvesting. So, yeah, I mean, you are wrecking shop on that tree.
Yeah, so you want to get to the biggest tree, and you want that biggest tree to be closer to the center of the board, because the closer you are to the center, the more points that you can get when you do chop down that tree. And so we played that. It took a little bit of time to get around the rules, but eventually the turns actually, once you know what you're doing, go really fast for that game. And it's, I don't know that I like all the mechanics for scoring and stuff. I feel like I got only a handful of trees, like I needed a couple more turns or something. Yeah. But even while you're going through it, the game looks so cool as you're building it. And especially if you're doing four player, every player's trees are a different color because they're a different type. And it just looks really cool. And it really is a three-dimensional game. And those don't happen a lot. And so the designer, I would applaud the designer for the idea that has been developed here. It's a great, cool game. Even if I don't like all of it, it's fun to play.
I'm a big fan of photosynthesis. I think they did a really good job with not only the artwork, but I guess the only area that I struggle with that game is that two things can that I've noticed. I've played it probably a dozen times. Two things. If people are not paying attention and not thinking about their move before their turn comes around, it can be a little frustrating. I noticed that with playing with kids or playing with people who are definitely have that analysis paralysis situation where they're like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. Well, you have, especially when you're playing a four-player game, you have plenty of time to think. You know, not that much changes from time to time. And then the other thing that I kind of struggle with a little bit is the you said the scoring. I think not necessarily the scoring, but how quickly the game comes to an end. I feel this is one of those games where I feel like you are building this engine of like, okay, I'm accumulating points, and now we're in the final round. You know,
right?
And so, but that's easily remedied by adding in one more round if you want. You know, that's
right.
I mean, that's not a hard fix.
No.
I mean, that's something that you could easily do and not break the game. So
definitely,
you'll just have bigger scores. Anyway, so yeah, Photosynthesis is a fantastic game and one that I've actually reviewed on One Board Family. So if you like trees, if you like cutting down trees, if you like looking at trees, if you like sunlight, those are all things that you can do in the game.
Definitely.
So
yes, if you enjoy the part of nature that allows us to live, you will enjoy photosynthesis.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. If you enjoy oxygen, go ahead and buy Photosynthesis.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome, world.
Exactly.
Here's oxygen.
I've been playing Hail Hydra. Aaron and I picked up Hail Hydra. This is a deduction game, a hidden role game, I guess. Yeah, everybody at the table is a different character, a different Marvel character. So Hydra is the enemy in a lot of the Avenger movies, and, you know, Captain America is going up against Red Skull and Hydra all the time. And so Hail Hydra is this deduction game where everybody at the table is a presumed good guy. So you've got She-Hulk, and you've got Hulk and the Wasp. You've got Black Panther and Captain America. You've got all these iconic heroes at the table, and you choose a character, and they give you a special ability that you can activate one time during the course of the game. And so as you go about the game, you're not only trying to figure out, everybody's given a little token, and on one side of the token, it tells you whether you're a Hydra agent or whether you are a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. So most of the people at the table are good guys, but then some of the people are bad guys, and they want to see you lose. So you're defeating, during the course of the game, you defeat five different bad guys, and these are everybody from Bob, you know, the henchman, to the Abomination, who goes up against Hulk. You know, there's these different, they're not, oh, Green Goblin's in there. Some of the enemies are a little more obscure, I noticed. But anyway, You're going up against these enemies. Each one has an attack value where they attack the city of New York. So you've got this little playmat in the middle of the table. And one of the most impressive things about this game is its presentation, but also the components themselves. Every card is just beautiful. Artwork's beautiful. Really good quality. The only thing that I didn't like was the mat that represents New York City with the hit points is very, mm-hmm. very flimsy. It's just like really thick cardstock. Yeah, that's the worst part of the game. But then you have this really nice metal token that they give you that's a replica of the Avenger Tower, and it's beautiful. I'm like, oh man, come on, just some heavier weight paper, really.
Yeah, let's get all the components good, guys. Come on.
Exactly. So everybody is dealing damage. So the Hydra agents know who they are, kind of like werewolf style at the beginning of the game. Everybody goes to sleep, close your eyes. Hydra agents look at each other. Everybody goes to sleep. Now let's start the game. So Hydra agents know who they are and who their friends are. And what they're trying to do is deceive everybody else at the table and throw in negative cards so that you don't end up beating the enemy round after mm-hmm. round. Each time you fail to beat the enemy, the enemy actually attacks New York City. So New York City actually starts taking damage. And one thing that I've noticed, we've played, I think, three times now, or maybe four. So far, Hydra's won every time, but sometimes mm-hmm. by very narrow margins. But once that tracker starts moving, man, it's hard. It gets really tough. You're like, oh, New York City took 3 points of damage. No big deal. There's 28 points of damage or 27, somewhere around there. High 20s. We're fine. It's only 3 points of damage. But once that starts, man, I feel like you just get into this rhythm of like, why are we losing points? What is happening? And so mm-hmm. it becomes very, very evident. We have got to kick these Hydra agents out. And there's a mechanic in it where the person can flip over their token and say Hail Hydra during the game, and they actually become the enemy. They become an enemy of everybody else during the course of this game. So there's a way that after each round, you can actually vote out one person from going on the next mission, which is nice to kind of weed out the enemies. But it's it is my favorite deduction game, like social deduction game. Awesome. It is fantastic.
I'm just looking at the number of cards here, and I mean, it's
outstanding.
Fairly substantial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that this game is, I think I got it for 28, but it's like $29 MSRP. This is a fantastic value. I mean, the reason why I'm talking about it again is because we're going to be playing it again this weekend. I feel like this is our weekend game. We try to get 5 to 8 people. I guess that's the other thing. If you don't have 5 people to play with, don't buy this game.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to have minimum 5.
So if I'm looking on Board Game Geek at its rating, it's in the like 6,000s, and that could be because it's new. But what would you say are some things people might not be liking about this game that you would say, like, don't worry about it?
I don't know. I think it's just because it's new, honestly.
Okay.
Tom Vassell is actually the one who sold me on this. I watched his video review of it, and he was just like, this is ridiculous, and I love it so much. And so once I heard that, I said, let me see what this is about. I bought it. We played it the first time. I said, this is so good. We played three couples came together. So there were 6 of us. 3 couples came together, and one couple ended up being Hydra agents together. And they were deceiving people the whole time. So we would kick out the wife because she was laughing nervously. So we would kick her out of the mission. And then the husband would play nothing but good cards to be like, yeah, you guys made the right choice. And then we would let her back into the next mission, and they would both destroy us. And I'm like, what's happening? Who's the other agent? We had no idea. And so it's such a great game. I would pick this over Werewolf, Secret Hitler. I haven't played Battlestar Galactica, but that's the thing that it gets a lot of references to. So you talked about Battlestar Galactica 3 episodes ago or so. This is Battlestar Galactica killer because it plays in about 45 minutes.
Right. So. And I think, you know, licensed games, some people are like, oh, no, licensed games. But I think it's awesome when they're able to pull a license and make a game that's different. Like, yeah. not just reskinning something. While, you know, that can work. And, you know, if you adjust it a little bit to where it fits within the universe, you know, mm-hmm. that's fine. But I love it that, you know, this kind of game is going to get people to the table that might not otherwise, you know, come, because it's,
oh, yeah.
you know, these superheroes, especially like some of the more obscure ones, that actually might get some people that are more like into comic books and stuff like, I definitely want to play this. And even those that are just kind of getting into the Marvel movies and stuff, you've got like Black Widow and Hulk and, yep. you know, Sharon Carter is a character like you know, that's kind of the stuff that people will be like, oh, cool. I know these people. And then, oh, who is She-Hulk? You know, who are all these other people? And so it could be that, you know, they not only get into more games, but more into comic books and stuff like that. And the artwork I'm looking at it right now is really cool. Like it looks fantastic.
Oh, it's outstanding.
So I'm going to have to check this one out myself. Because I am a giant comic book nerd. Not giant. I am a fairly substantial, we'll say that, comic book nerd.
Yeah.
This sounds like one that I should be adding.
This is a fantastic game. Honestly, I need to do a review for this one pretty soon, because it is top notch. So
that's awesome. Well, Ryan, thanks for sharing that with us, and adding again to my ever-growing list of games I want to buy. That I don't need to, because I already have too many unplayed ones. But are going to jump in to another segment where we're going to review some games that are on Kickstarter to try to take even more money out of your wallet. So
stick
around after this break.
Right, we are back, and we've got some Kickstarters for you guys to check out. These are three Kickstarters that we've taken note of, and actually Rick is backing a couple of these, I'm sure. So Rick, you wrote a preview for Rap Gods, which is a new game that hit Kickstarter at the end of August, and it's something that you actually got to play hands-on at the Southern Fried Gaming Festival, Gaming Expo, the beginning of the summer. So tell us a little about Rap Gods and why this is a Kickstarter that you've got to check out.
Yeah, Rap Gods is a game that is kind of having you go through the life of a hip-hop star. I think it feels a little more old school than like a current hip-hop, but basically the game is played over three rounds, and you get five turns each round. And you have a handful of cards that you play the cards in order to move up on different tracks of the game. You can kind of think of them as like resource tracks, but it's like street cred and mic skills and things like that. So you're playing these cards, and they have really interesting illustrations and interesting things that can happen to you. Like you do something maybe to gain notoriety, like you buy a new sports car or something, or you're caught wrecking that sports car or something like that, and that'll get you cred in some way, and you'll move up this path in order to meet certain goals that you want to achieve, that there are what they call rewards. And so, like, it might be that at the end of the game, the person with the most street cred gets 20 points bonus. But also on all the cards that you're playing, well, most of them, you also get points just for playing those cards. So there's a bunch of different ways to get these victory points. There's also, you can start a beef with somebody. So you play a beef card, and what that does is you and another person are rolling, and whoever loses has a consequence. Maybe they fall down on one of the resource tracks or lose some points, and the other person gains those points. So there's kind of a risk factor involved there.
Almost like a duel or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the game is played over five, like I said, three rounds of five turns each round, and whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins. I liked this game for its artwork. I really think it's unique. One of the game designers is hand-drawing all this. I was sitting there playing the game with him, and he was drawing some demo stuff while we were playing. So that was kind of a cool experience to get to have. But also, I like that there is a lot more game here than I was expecting. I was expecting a game that's going to be kind of like cheesy, that the whole thing is, you know, theme and, you know, that's it. But no, this was a well-done game. There was a lot more balance involved. I thought I had a strategy that I was going to win with, and another guy played just a little bit better than me and beat me. So it's a solid game. It's on Kickstarter right now. It needs some more funding, so if it's interesting to you at all, I hope you'll go out and try to get yourself a copy. But yeah, it's a pretty cool little thing. And the other part of it, too, is that it's a game that I think is... Hip-hop culture, that kind of stuff, is not prevalent in board games.
Not at all.
I think this is the kind of thing that needs to exist.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that it gets funded. It's got a little ways to go, but it's definitely interesting.
This is an important game for, I think, our hobby. Because it's the passion that they've put into this game, it shows. I mean, it shows in the artwork. It shows in the way that they position everything. It's everything from, like, you've got a guy studying the dictionary to get better at his lyrical skill, you know, there's a lot of I think, what is it? There was a card where you lose your notebook, you know, with all your rhymes in it. And so there's some really cool stuff in it that I really, really like. And Rap Gods is definitely one you want to check out. That's Rap, RAPGODZ, Rap Gods.
Yes.
Check it out on Kickstarter right now. And you can check out, I'll link in the show notes to the actual preview that Rick did. So it looks so good. So, Rick, this next one we're going to talk about, this is from Queen Games. And we know Queen Games because they publish some of your favorite games. Escape, that's one of your all-time favorites. Queen Games, I believe, Alhambra, you know, that's a game that
Parfum,
we really like.
That we talked about last week.
Yeah, Parfum. So they are publishing the game Franchise, which is actually a re-implementation of an older game, but it's got a really cool theme. This is one of those games that I think the theme really attracted me. In Franchise, what you're trying to do is you're either a person who is running a car wash franchise, or you're running a restaurant franchise, what have you. There's a couple different franchises you can pick from, and that's kind of like your player color, or your player card. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to build your franchise across the United States in major cities. So as you position yourself in Seattle, you're going to get a certain number of points for that. As you position yourself in Atlanta or Orlando, you'll get a certain number of points for that. But then also the smaller cities, when you franchise out to those smaller cities, you're going to get a certain number of points for that. I guess one thing that I really liked about the game is the accuracy of, you know, obviously a large city can have a lot of franchises. So let's say we go into St. Louis and I can put two of my buildings there, and you can put a building there, and Aaron can put a building there. So we have, across the city of St. Louis, you have all these different restaurants or whatever, you know, so you can even put multiples of your building. And it's kind of area control, where you control an area by the number of buildings you have. So let's say I'm going to get the most amount of points for having two franchises of my car wash in St. Louis, whereas you and Aaron are not going to get as many because you only have one of each of your franchises. So I'm going to get bonus points and things like that. I like the concept of the game, and I like the thought behind it more than I actually like the gameplay. I felt like it was pretty shallow. We got to play it at Origins, but I could see how a person who really enjoys something like Ticket to Ride or something that's kind of entry-level gateway game, I could see how they would really enjoy Franchise. I thought it would be deeper, and I really wanted something more, and was kind of disappointed after playing it at Origins.
Yeah, it's got some nice strategy elements. You know, like you said, you could add multiple franchises to a big city, but the more franchises are in a place, the less money they're worth. So you've got, like, you're getting less profit if a place has more restaurants in it, because, like, in you're adding competition. So if, you know, I've got one restaurant, you know, in St. Louis, and then I add another, I'm not going to be making the same thing I was. Like, my profits are going to go down a little bit. I kind of like that idea. You know, as I'm sitting here, because I teach economics now, I'm thinking of the idea of opportunity costs, and how that's a lesson I just taught. And so it would be kind of cool in maybe that kind of setup. But I do agree that there's it felt like it went long. Like, it kind of wore out its welcome by the time we got to the end of it. We also might have had a bad experience learning the game. I think there was a rule or three that maybe we misheard or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. We stumbled through some of the rules, but I think even with the rule issues that we ran into, you know, I don't know why I expected something deeper. I guess I looked at the description of the game and I was like, oh man, it's going to feel like you're really expanding and you're franchising out and you're building this empire. But I never felt that way. I felt like I was placing little houses or little buildings in cities. And I was just like, okay, well, I'll go here because that makes the most sense. You know, I'll go here and I'll spend my money here. I never felt like I was really growing this business, you know, and there was, I think at one point I had so much money accumulated. I was like, I guess I'll just go to the big cities because it makes sense. I got to spend my money somewhere. You know, I think that there were balance issues that I didn't anticipate, especially since this is a queen game. They've play tested this. This is actually a re-implementation of a game that's been out for years. You know, I expected it to be, I think, more, you know, and that may just be on me. Somebody else may be playing this and be like, oh, this is fantastic.
Well, and I think another thing to consider about this Kickstarter is the price point. Franchise is coming in at $57. You are going to get some exclusive Queenies, is what they call their little mini expansions in Queen games. So, you know, that does add a little bit of incentive for you to grab it. But, like, I don't know that after playing it, I would have wanted it for that price. That seems a little excessive. Especially when I think about Queen games being where I get a good game for a very good price is generally what I think about with Queen games. And so I might wait on this one. And it's also kickstarting with Bastille and Skylands, which are two games that I don't know much about, but Skylands looks really cool.
Skylands looks neat, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a huge fan of Queen games and what they do, and you've got that extra money, I think that Franchise is a game that you could enjoy if it sounds like your type of game, but definitely not something that I'm like, you must have it, like other Kickstarters may have been in the past.
Yeah, this is definitely, if you enjoy things like Ticket to Ride, if you enjoy those entry-level games, I think that if you're looking for something like that and you have a smaller board game collection, I think Franchise is a good fit. I don't know about the price point because I think $57 or something?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little high. I really believe that's high for what you're getting. But it is on Kickstarter. You can check it out. Look up Franchise from Queen Games.
Definitely.
And Rick, you got one more on this list.
Yeah, I've added another one that I've changed from our show notes because I backed it while we were talking. And so this is Bob Beal. I guess it's supposed to be a play on Babel, like the Tower of Babel. Basically, this is a two-player game from a new publisher. It looks like Meridiano 6. And so, you know, there is something to be said about being careful with first-time creators, just to kind of throw that out there and make sure people are aware. But I back this because I'm really intrigued by the promise of this game. It's a two-player game. You can also play it four, but I think it's kind of intended to be two from what I'm reading about. But you've got you're basically building a city, and in this city, each building has a different thing that happens when you play it. So, like, a building might cause you to move move other structures around, or maybe it limits what can be built near it. Maybe it eliminates other things that have already been built. It might have an end game effect. But also within this city, you're placing residents on each card. So you've got different factions that are living in the city. So you've got orcs, humans, elves, dwarves, and monsters. And so anytime that a card is played, what happens is an opponent can choose any home that still has space available and move new inhabitants of their color into that home. So what's interesting about that is anytime you move a resident into a home, it impacts the neighborhood. So when dwarves move into the neighborhood, the orcs want to move away. When humans move into the neighborhood, they make elves want to move away. So things all move based on what has been placed on the board. Yeah. And so this kind of constant interactivity, constant movement, kind of has you trying to come up with plans and figure out where you're going to go. I kind of like that. So yeah. I've backed it. I also am really digging this artwork that's going with the game. It looks like some high quality stuff, and it was 30 something bucks, which is a pretty nice, price for a Kickstarter. So I'm excited about it. You know,
it looks really cool. You know what it reminds me of? Just the content of it. You know, not the same gameplay, but obviously the artwork and the idea of like this community of different people. It reminds me of Small World, you know, this, mm-hmm. like how there's this group of crazy creatures that all live together, you know, in this mm-hmm. land. And so it looks really good. And so I'm glad you brought this one up, because this is one that I actually hadn't seen at all until mm-hmm. you put it on this list. So yeah, check that one up. Babeel, B-A-A-B-E-E-L. And we'll put that in the show notes. So that's our little, I don't know, this Kickstarter corner. We're not going to name
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah, we don't do it that often. Yeah, but you know, Kickstarter is a place where a lot of the latest and greatest board games are going to be coming. And if you're looking for new stuff that hasn't been done in a board game before, it's kind of a good place to go. There are, of course, its advantages and disadvantages. But if we want to make sure you know about them from time to time, so these are some games that you can check out.
That's right. Cool. Well, we'll be back in just a minute with a Game Doctor segment. We're going to be prescribing some games.
Now paging the Game Doctor. Game Doctor, please report to room 101.
All right, Rick, we are scrubbed in, and we have our stethoscopes and our, what are those booty things that you put on your shoes so you don't get your
are those when your boots aren't made for walking?
Yeah. No, the blue covers that you wear on your shoes. I'm wearing those right now.
Those boot hairnets.
Boot hairnets. I got those boot hairnets on my shoes. I'm excited.
There you go. Well, Ryan, I've got a patient today. One of my students at school is a senior and is interested in going into game design.
Nice.
Mostly on the video game side, but as part of her application for mm-hmm. school, she has to make a board game. And the requirements that she told me are that she has to have a limited number of components. And she might have told me more, and I just don't remember, but that is what I recall. And she said she wants to come and get some advice from me. So, you know what? While she's at it, let's get the doctors in here to see what we can prescribe for her.
That's right. I guess limited, when you're talking about limited number of components, there was a Kickstarter probably about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago called Space Base Mutiny. And it was a game that was created on a postcard. So I think this was part of a design contest or something that came out of a design contest. But the whole game is created on a postcard. So actually when you got this Kickstarter, you paid $1 and they ship you this card. It's essentially a piece of plastic, and you punch out your components, and you can put them in an Altoid tin if you want, or you can put them in a plastic baggie, whatever you want. But it was, I thought it was really creative because it's an area control game that has a limited number of rules, but it still has a lot of gameplay, you know. And so two or three players, I can't remember, but there's these factions. It's two players.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's these two these different things that you can place on the spaceship. So you have this overhead map of the spaceship, and so you're trying to control these different areas of the spaceship using your faction. So it was really cool, and I thought it was a creative way to make something that is accessible and low cost with minimal components. It's literally a postcard that you're punching out some pieces. So that was pretty cool.
We actually promoted this as an entry level into Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And I had forgotten the name of it. I have, a drawer full of copies of Space Base Mutiny. I had contacted the creator about wanting it for my game creation class, and he was very, very generous and gave me several copies, and I've still got some. So, I need to break that back out. Space Base Mutiny is definitely a cool one to think about. Going kind of again with that idea of Kickstarters, Button Shy Games has done a few Kickstarters, and they've got their own website with a bunch of games that they have developed. But their focus as a company, they call themselves a small board game publisher, and they mean it's just a few of them working outside of their home. They release what they call wallet-sized games, which are generally 18 cards or less, that come in a bifold wallet so that they're like built to be on the go. And also their goal is to release a game every month. Mm-hmm. And so we've actually interviewed Button Shy before and talked to them about how they go about their business. They've got some really cool designs. I unfortunately have not been able to get my hands on any of their products, but I'm looking to do so in the near future. But they all play pretty quickly. They all have a theme that's pretty well laid out, so and they keep it small and easy to kind of carry around with you and play a game based on a small number of components.
I actually have one of the wallets. It's the X-Files game. It's an 18-card game that's X-Files themed that somebody had gotten in a loot crate, I think they got an X-Files themed loot crate or something like that, and they were like, hey, I don't know what this is, but here you go. I was like, awesome, that's really cool. So we've got that on our game shelf. So the quality of everything from the cards to the actual wallet that you get is really cool, and it's literally something you can jam in your pocket and go. And so Button Shy Games makes some really great things with very, very limited components.
Yeah, so those have always been pretty solid. Ryan, we've got one more on this list, and it's one I believe you backed on Kickstarter, and it's Mintworks.
That's right. Mintworks has been around for a little while. I actually picked this one up. Mintworks and Mint Delivery were sold together. You could buy a combo. But essentially, Mintworks comes in the equivalent of an Altoid tin. And so it's a worker placement game that was created to fit into this little tin. And you're using these little wooden circles that look like mints. And the point of the game is to acquire a group of buildings or structures that give you stars, and once you hit 7 stars, you win the game. The game plays 2 to 4 players. It has limited components. It's nothing but cards and some mint tokens. That's all there is, and it's all
are they actual mints? And if I eat them, will I die?
They're pieces of wood. You won't die from eating little chunks of wood, but if they're made with lead paint, you will. So good luck with
there
that.
There we go.
So, but actually, you could honestly, if you had little tokens, that's one thing that you could. This could also be accomplished with. Yeah, I guess you could accomplish this a couple different ways if people were using little tokens that they just brought with them. You could use it with pennies or whatever. It's essentially the cards and just some markers, you know. So, and a first player marker. So Mintworks, I have not played Mint Delivery yet. It's a little more advanced. You have the city set up where you're delivering things with these trucks. I haven't played that one yet, but Mintworks is really, really cool, super portable, and very limited as far as components go. So,
Awesome.
Hopefully those three games help, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good start, and I think we can definitely get going from there. But, you know, thank you for helping me out with that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, definitely. And if you want more content like this, be sure to subscribe to the One Board Podcast. You can also check out our other podcast that's actually part of the same feed. It's called Will It Game. It's a little bit of a game show where we have guest hosts on and we pitch terrible game ideas. This Friday will be one for the record books because it is an absolute disaster. So be Woo-hoo! Sure to check that one out. Coming up on Friday. But you can also check out what we're doing as far as reviewing games and doing interviews with game developers and previewing Kickstarters and talking about news in the game industry. Check us out at oneboardfamily.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter at oneboardfamily. And Rick, when will we see people?
We will see them at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.